So if you were looking at the front cover of the bulletin when you came in, you noticed that the title or the day for today is Trinity Sunday. In the Episcopal Church and the lectionary, Trinity Sunday is always the Sunday that follows Pentecost. And it's the Sunday that usually the assistant, if there's an assistant of the church, preaches, because the rector preaches on Pentecost, and then the assistant is the one that's left to talk about the Trinity, which of course is near impossible. Because we call it a mystery for a reason. The trap that I, like almost every young priest, fell into when it was our turn to first preach the sermon on Trinity Sunday is to try to explain the Trinity. And in doing so, for more than maybe 2 minutes, I will inevitably end up in some kind of heresy that the church has decided is not really the way the Trinity works. And we love doing this as people, right? We love taking something that is kind of beyond our comprehension, that we trust is at work because we witness the things around us, and instead of just letting that be and trying to be comfortable in that tension, we decided we really want to put definitions to it. And so we put all of these rules together, we created the Nicene Creed, and we tried to cover all our bases so that everyone could understand the creed perfectly. But no one does. What we have is we have the story of the scripture, and we read the opening to that story of the Hebrew scriptures in Genesis 1. And we have this really interesting picture where we clearly have this idea that there is a God and there is one God. You know, you've probably heard it, Christianity, Judaism, Islam described as monotheistic religions. We have one God, whereas most of the cultures throughout history have worshipped multiple gods. And yet, in our very first chapter of our scriptures, there are these interesting words, like the Spirit, even though in our translation it says the wind hovered over the waters. Wind and Spirit, the word we use for Holy Spirit, is the same word there. So we have God creating the heavens and the earth, we have the Spirit hovering over the waters, and when you go to John's Gospel, you have the description of the Word of God, or Jesus, being present in creation. And so throughout the scriptures, throughout Jesus' ministry, you start to get the sense of there being this, what we call the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But how, if we have one God, do those three things exist? What does that look like? How does that work? That's about as far as I'm going to go. I don't know. I just know that it's there. We look at today's gospel and Jesus sending out the disciples, right? I say, go. And as you are going, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, who walks in the earth, the Word of God, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, right? He comes into this world, he talks about the Father, he talks about his connection to the Father. And then he breathes on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. It will be what gives you the strength to go into this world. And sure enough, from last week, we read this story of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descends on them, and they are empowered to go out and to share the message of the gospel, where just a few weeks earlier, they were cowering in a locked room in the upstairs room of their building, right? We don't understand exactly how the Trinity works. We just know that Jesus and our scriptures talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet we know that they are one God. There is a community, there's a relationship, and we are called into that. We interact with the Holy. We interact with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit every day. The reality of God and of the Trinity is all around us. It supports us. It encourages us. It gives us the very life that we breathe. The thing that takes our stuff and turns it into life. My concern this morning isn't in trying to explain how it all works or how to make sense of it. And if you've been here for very long, you that probably makes sense, because you know I'm not real worried about how much you understand or know about this thing we call the church or Christianity, this person we call God. Because I don't think it's knowledge. I don't think it's understanding that welcomes us into the kingdom of God. I think it's the power and the love and the mercy of our God in Christ Jesus. And it is a free gift to you, it is a free gift to me, and we receive it joyfully, I hope. It's what we'll gather around this font to celebrate in just a few minutes, to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to welcome our newest official member into the church. We have these practices and we have this tradition as we seek to follow after and to worship a God who loves us and has come all the way to meet us in the person of Jesus and has sent the Holy Spirit that we might have life, that we might know truth, and that we might be welcomed into the world and understand how it is to interact with this world, to understand how we were created and who we were created to be, to have the opportunity to live into that life and to be a part of the transformation of this world as God has called us. We have the opportunity, when Jesus says, go and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we spend a lot of energy talking and thinking in the church about that making disciples, that baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When I fill out the records for the church year that I have to send into the church, one of the questions they ask is, how many baptisms were they? We love counting baptisms. We love having that definitive mark of, oh, how many people have we welcomed into the church this year? What that statistic misses is that there's plenty of people that are welcomed into our church. Whether they ever set foot in this building, they have the opportunity to live and be in community with you. Whether you work together, whether you live together, whether you're friends and spend your lives together, we have the opportunity and we, not just the opportunity, but we live in this world and we share the reality and the power of the gospel and of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's within you. That's the promise of God. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit. When you go and you seek to love the people around you, you go as God's agent, the hands and feet of Christ in this world. We are a part of showing and bringing into this world greater love, greater joy, greater peace. That is our call. That is our work as the people of God, as the children of God. And one of the things I want to point out that to be honest, for how many times I've read the Great Commission, which is what is the church often calls this Matthew 28 reading from the Gospel, I thought it was so interesting that we've got this scene, right, where the disciples have met Jesus in the upper room, right? Jesus has been resurrected. They're kind of huddling in the upper room, kind of with the doors locked, scared for fear of them being next to be crucified or to be killed. And Jesus appears among them. He shows them his hands and his feet. He shows them the wound in his side, and he says, I have risen. I am here to be with you. Come and see, right? You have all those pieces of them kind of coming to believe that Jesus really is who he said he was. And then you have this culmination in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus sends them up onto a mountain, right? And he stands there and he calls over them and he says, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All authority in heaven and earth I give to you. And I love this first line. When they saw him, they worshiped him, right? So the disciples saw Jesus on the mountain, they worshiped him. And the next line is, but some doubted. I say this a lot, but I think it's important. If you're out there and whatever doubts you have, be encouraged that you're not alone. Your priest has plenty of doubts and confusion, struggles with these things all the time. The very disciples that were with Jesus, that were with not just Jesus, but the resurrected Jesus, who worship him on a mountain, some of them doubted. And here's the thing, even though they doubted, Jesus looks at them and across the board, wherever their faith was, says, all authority has been given to me, go, I send you out. You don't have to have some level of faith to be used by God in this world. You don't have to have some level of knowledge. Within you and within your hearts is the knowledge of what love feels like. That's the gift of God. throughout our lives, we learn, hopefully, we learn to learn better and better how to love ourselves and how to love the people around us. We start to recognize love more and more. That is what I believe it means to walk in the way of Christ. That is what I think it means to be discipled. It's not to fill our heads with a bunch of information about the Trinity or about the Bible or about God. That's fine. That's good. I'm not going to say don't learn anything about the Bible. I think there's fantastic things. All of this we have in some way comes out of our teaching of the Scriptures. But it's not just about filling our heads. It's about opening our hearts more than anything else. We're baptizing a young boy here in the water. I'm not examining him and asking him if he understands all the right things about what it means to be a Christian. I'm not even asking the godparents and parents. I just simply turn to them and say, is this something you want to do? And if the response is yes, then we keep going forward. This is all an invitation. God invites us into baptism, into communion, into fellowship with one another. God invites us to go out into this world and to share the love that has been sown in our hearts, to allow it to grow and to flourish and to bear fruit. The beauty and the power of love is when it is lived in our lives, it does not deplete us, but it comes from an ever-deepening well that is the gift of God. We believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do I understand how it works? Not entirely. Is that okay? Yes. Do I doubt and do I struggle with the things that the church teaches? Do I struggle with the things I believe? Do I look at what I believed 5 years ago and ask myself, do I still believe all the same things? Yeah, all the time. I'm constantly growing and changing. Was Chris 5 years ago the better Christian? Maybe, probably, I don't know. I'm here. I've got what I have to offer to you and to this world, and I have so much, I'm filled with joy at the opportunity to do it. But so often we do, we get hung up on this idea of, am I good enough? Am I faithful enough? Do I believe all the right things? Do I deserve to be here? Am I being dishonest in being a part of this? And if you feel any of those things, just hear me say, you're welcome here. This place is for you. It was created for you. In your doubts, in your in whatever level of knowledge you have, this is for you. This place wasn't created for people that know it all. To be honest, the scariest time in my life as a Christian is when I knew it all. I'm glad you didn't know me then. It's tempting, right? It's tempting to look at the Scriptures and to look at what we believe and to take the teachings of the church and try to distill them down and to say, I've got this thing figured out. If I just do X, Y, and Z, I'll be okay. How many have felt that, right? Whether it's the faith tradition you grew up in or just the sense that you have this list of things in your head. You're like, if I just do this, if I just stay on this path, it's going to be okay. But if you're like me, you're not always staying on that path. That's what the grace of God is about. God lays out the path before us. He invites us to follow him in it. And as we wander off in opposite directions, God is there to walk with us, to stay side by side with us, to carry us when we need it, and to invite us back onto the path whenever we are ready. We wander and we zig and we zag in this life. We get confused, we do the wrong thing. Sometimes we boldly go after something we think is the right thing and we find out it is the wrong thing. And in all of that, God's grace and love is with you. It doesn't leave you until you come back. It's not tentatively there based on your behavior or your beliefs or your knowledge. It is there as a free gift to you. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. God's love is complete and unconditional and eternal. All we need do is receive it, and so it is offered to you. It is my opportunity to say, here. If you want it, receive it. Come to this table. You are invited to this table. Receive the bread and the wine, the body and the blood. receive the gift of God, the mystery of the Eucharist that covers over you with God's love and grace and invites you and appoints you as children of God, loved by God, as you are invited into the kingdom of God. If that is something you want, I invite you to receive it. And I pray that for all of us, our heads don't trip up our hearts. And in our trying to understand and figure things out, which I think is natural, that we get in the way of what God is doing in our lives. My hope is that we can be moved by God's love and grace, that we can receive that and day by day learn to trust more and more that it is sufficient. It is sufficient for you. God is offering you everything God has ever wanted to give you right now. You don't have to work your way up to it. God's not holding back until you get things figured out, until you grow up a little bit. God is offering it all to you right now, just as God is offering it to Cole. That's how this works. It's an honor, a blessing, and a privilege to worship with you this morning, to stand before you and have the opportunity to share this message. It's an overwhelming joy to stand behind this altar and to welcome you to it. So thank you for being here and worshiping with us. Know that this church and this place and this world is different because of it. I rejoice at the opportunity to share in this with you. Welcome. God bless. Amen.